Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. For tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today, especially if you're walking through a storm or a battle, or you wonder when you're going to see a big breakthrough. Are you there right now in a place where you're wondering how long until I see a breakthrough? Well, if you listen often enough, you know that I'm in that place. And on one hand, I feel like I'm learning how to more sturdily stand on God's promises when my emotions threaten to get the best of me. But on the other hand, there's just days I feel weary in battle. Well, how about you? Well, my guest this hour says this. In the Bible, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. But day 41 came, and the rain stopped. The people of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Then year 41 came, and a new generation entered the promised land. For 40 days, Goliath bullied Israel and dared anyone to fight him. Day 41 came, and David slew the giant. Do you see the theme? Don't quit. Don't give up. God will come through for you. Well, Chuck Tate is my guest this hour, and we're going to unpack his book, 41 Will Come, Holding On When Life Gets Tough and Standing Strong Until a New Day Dawns. A quick announcement before we get Chuck on. We've had an amazing, amazing initiative this month called the Live Free Challenge, where we at Faith Radio are hoping and praying to raise $50,000 to help put an end to human trafficking. All of that money goes to International Justice Mission. I cover them on the show often enough. I think you know what a heroic organization that is. Well, a lot of us have gotten our miles in, and we're waiting now to bring in those funds. And so if you want to sow some seeds into that movement to end human trafficking, go to livefreechallenge.org. Support anybody you feel like, but we want to raise that money to help put an end to that, I think, the most base crime against humanity, truly. Okay, I got to read one more quote from my guest before we get him on the show. Maybe you need this word today. Chuck Tate writes this: "We serve a God who is big enough to restore relationships, heal bodies, extend provision, change circumstances, breathe new life into any situation, and listen to this, wipe out our sin and the shame associated with it. And he's not only big enough to save you, he also wants to do it." Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Chuck Tate is the founder and lead pastor of Rock Church, a growing and thriving congregation in the heart of Illinois. Before planting Rock Church in 1998, Chuck worked for a national youth ministry in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He and his wife, Annette, are the parents of Savannah and Ashton. We're talking about Chuck's book, 41 Will Come, Holding On When Life Gets Tough and Standing Strong Until a New Day Dawns. Chuck, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Susie. I'm honored to be with you today.
Looking forward to the conversation, Chuck. And wondering, we start every conversation every single day talking scripture. And just wondering if you either have a life verse that you carry with you or just a passage you've been pondering these days that you can share with us.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my life verses, and I guess I'm always pondering it, and if you attended my church, you would probably have this memorized as well, but Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." So I believe that so many times we go through life and we forget to include God, but if we will take the time to commit our plans to Him, He will take our plans, make them His plans, and His plans cannot fail.
Very good. Love, love, love it. Well, if you don't mind, Chuck, I would love a little backstory just on your faith journey, how you came to Christ and when you first sensed the call of God on your life.
Sure. Well, I was I pretty much almost came out of the womb saved. But I was raised in a Christian home, and my dad's a minister. He was a missionary evangelist. And so I'm very just consider myself fortunate and blessed to be raised the way that I was. I committed my life to Christ when I was 3 years old, listening to a record player. And I know that some people listening have no idea what a record is. But in the digital age we're in now. But I got saved at an early age and committed my life to Christ. In fact, the first time that I ever even preached a message was in fifth grade, and it was the story of David and Goliath. And what's interesting is, you know, I unpack 1 Samuel chapter 17 throughout the book, and we take a look at the 40 days that Goliath taunted Israel, and how one person on day 41 was willing to respond in faith and step onto a battlefield. So that's always been one of my favorite portions of scripture. And it was instilled to me at a young age, and grew up in church and around ministry and went off to Bible college and planted a church 18 years ago. So here we are.
Wow. Okay, so talk about when the idea for 41 will come was first born in your heart.
All right. Well, I had the opportunity to be a chaplain for a professional indoor football team, for listeners that might be familiar with arena football. And I did that for about 7 seasons. And during our very first season, we made it to the playoffs. And when I say chaplain, that gave me the opportunity to have about a 15-minute sermon or message devotional, if you will, with those players who chose to attend prior to every home game. So here we are in the playoffs. It's a semifinal game, big game. It's, you know, go big or go home. You know, we win, we move on to the championship, the Super Bowl of indoor football, if you will. And if we lose, of course, the season ends. And in that chapel service, I delivered a message. And at that time, it was just a sermon that I called 41 Will Come. And the idea first came to me from listening to a cassette tape as a youth pastor back in the 90s. And I heard this band called Harvest, and they had an album called 41 Will Come. And there was a title track called 41 Will Come. And I was inspired by that song that I began to research all the instances in scripture where there was a season of 40 days or years that represented waiting, testing, trial. And then on day 41 or year 41, there seemed to be breakthrough, answered prayer, new beginning, giant falling, those sort of things. So I just turned that into a sermon and happened to preach it on this semifinal playoff game to this team called the Peoria Pirates. And my little message was pretty much what you read just a little bit ago in Genesis. It rained for 40 days, 40 nights, 41 came, the rain stopped. Moses committed murder, then hid on the backside of a desert 40 years, 41 came, and he received a second chance and was commissioned by God to be the rescuer of Israel. Then the children of Israel wandered that wilderness for a season of 40 years, but 41 came, and a new generation entered the promised land. And of course, as we mentioned, Goliath challenged Israel 40 days, but on day 41, David slew Goliath. And I have about 3 more examples that I could go into, but I'll save those for later. So in this chapel, that's what I shared with the team and encouraged them not to quit, not to throw in the towel. And I was talking not just about football, but life in general, speaking to different things the guys were encountering as there was a giant that perhaps stood between them and their destiny and them and maybe getting to the NFL and, you know, different habits and things that they were facing. But one of the final things that I said in chapel was, no matter what happens today, guys, if we get stuck on 40, don't quit. 41 will come. And we went on, and when I say we, I mean they, because I didn't play. But they went on, and not only won the game, but the final score was 41-40. Mm. And in that moment, I didn't even let the score sink in. When that game ended, I stormed the field. There were about 9,000 people in the arena, and it was just pandemonium. I was running around, high-fiving guys, and just yelling, 41 came. As in, we won, 41 came, not as in the final score. That just didn't connect with me in that moment. In fact, the score didn't even enter my mind until the way home with my friend was listening to the post-game radio show. And my friend Mike just wasn't talking. He was just sitting there, like, stunned. And finally, he just looked over at me as I'm driving, and he said, "I can't believe the final score." I said, "I know, 41-40. And when I said it, it hit me and I almost drove off the road. And I'm not the reason we won the game, but God used it in that moment to speak to those players, to speak to me, to speak to players for seasons to come after that. And now hopefully to those who are listening today, who are going to read the book and realize, hey, no matter what I'm going through, I'm not going to quit. 41 will come.
Indeed, indeed. We've got a break here in a couple minutes so we can pick the rest of this conversation on the other side. But love for you to talk about what that number 40 exemplifies. You say in the book, it exemplifies exile in the far reaches of a scorching desert with no end in sight. It symbolizes the consequences of bad decisions and disobedience and the postponement of promised blessings. 40 also implies fear and failure, represents the devil's best efforts to disrupt, distract, and destroy the work of God. Speak to, I mean, as a pastor, you've seen 40 play out in many different ways, I'm sure. So speak more, if you would, to that idea.
Sure. When you take a look at all those examples, you know, that we've talked about and you just mentioned, they all are basically just a season of waiting, testing, trial. If you're alive, you have faced unforeseen circumstances. We've gone through seasons of setback. We've gone through seasons of testing. We've lost loved ones. We've lost battles. We have, you know, had life beat us down. We know what it's like to be in a storm, you know, and sometimes, Susie, we create the storms, and then sometimes a storm just shows up out of nowhere. So it's important what we do during those seasons, whether it's an actual 40 days or 40 years or anywhere in between. If we would just hold on and trust God, He really will see us through. It might not be the way we want it to pan out or even in our timeline, but He will see us through.
And Scripture does say, after you've suffered a little while, God Himself will lift you up and strengthen you. When we come back, we're going to talk about how 40 also represents a time of preparation. You know, William MacDonald calls this training time for reigning time. All these trials, troubles, battles, they do train us up for future battles and to sturdy our faith. So let's not waste them. So let's talk to Chuck on the other side about how to steward these times, this 40 time, the time in between. So we're ready for 41 when that breakthrough comes. It's coming. We've got three copies of 41 Will Come. Holding On When Life Gets Tough, Standing Strong Until a New Day Dawns. Email me if you want it on the drawing. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address, and put 41 somewhere in that email too. And we will be back in a moment. That time between, in between, we're in the trial, in the valley, in the battle, and the breakthrough's not yet come, we forget that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is alive and available to us, in us. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Talking to Chuck Tate today, author of the book 41 Will Come, Holding On When Life Gets Tough and Standing Strong Until a New Day Dawns. On the flip side, on the backside of the break, Chuck, we were talking about how 40 symbolizes so many things. I mean, exile, even sometimes consequences of our own bad decisions, or just the postponement of our dreams through just hardship and delay. But you also say that 40 represents a time of preparation. Say more if you would.
Sure. David, before he, you know, determined that he was going to fight Goliath, he was a shepherd. And he was already experienced with his slingshot, if you will. God had already helped him to defeat a lion and a bear. So one of the things that we bring out in the book, we give seven different keys to help people hold on and stand strong. And one of those keys is to prepare in order to proceed a payoff, or preparation always precedes payoff. So if we're going to be ready to seize our opportunity, when God opens the door, we're going to be ready to go through it, then we have got to take the time to prepare ourselves. And there's a lot of things we could say about preparation, but, you know, spiritually speaking, I think too often we wait until we're in the middle of a storm, trial, or crisis to find out what the Word of God says. I think if we would just get hungry for the Word, weigh everything, every decision we make with Scripture, you know, feed ourselves, get in and know what the Word says, memorize it, get it in our heart out of the abundance of the heart, but now it speaks, then we're going to be prepared, we're going to be ready. In fact, in the New Testament, Jesus, he fasted and prayed in the wilderness for 40 days, and that was a season of preparation for his ministry to accomplish what he came from heaven to earth to do. And during that season of preparation, the enemy tempted him and tried to take him out. And what did he do? You know, as you know, Susie, he spoke the word of God, and angels showed up, the devil fled, he launched his ministry. And I think when, you know, we can learn something from that. And right now, we find ourselves in a wilderness, in a desert, in a storm, in a season. We need to fill ourselves up with the word of God so we can declare it, decree a thing, and it shall be established. David, when he stepped onto that battlefield, he told Goliath what he was going to do him. He spoke it into existence. I'm not talking about his name, and claim it, blab it, grab it, but he actually was confident because he knew how big his God was. And I think it's interesting that for 40 days, we had an entire army, the army of Israel, responded with silence. They heard the exact same words that David heard. But when David showed up, he responded with faith. And I think we need to do that. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans 10, 17 says, so faith comes by continually hearing the word of God. So if we will feed ourselves the word of God when we don't need it, it'll be there when we do need it.
Boy, that's such a good word. And it was interesting how Goliath tried to single David out. You know, you're just a boy, you're a ruddy little boy. What, you know, he was kind of just casting aspersions on him, trying to get him to be isolated and be kind of in his natural mindset. But it was so interesting that David is like, who is this Philistine that dares defy the armies of the living God? Like, he wouldn't break rank even as a young boy. He saw himself as a part of a bigger army. How important is that as well when you're in that time in between? Because that enemy will try to isolate and single you out, don't you think? When we're in those places, we feel already isolated. We've got to remember we're part of something bigger.
Absolutely. The enemy, every single time, he will try to cause us to feel, you know, inferior and weak and alone. And he will distract us with negativity and cause, you know, us to just self-doubt. And in fact, one of the chapters in the book is about shaking off doubt and doubters. And David, he was confident in his God. And we have to be confident in our God and just shake that off. And I think if we just, again, get back to the word and get in the word, then that's going to help us to stand. That's going to increase our faith. And then we'll find out that in reality, the enemy is afraid of us. He's like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He tries to scare us with that big roar. But the word of God says, greater is he who's in us than he that's in the world. And obviously, David was confident. He knew how big his God was. And I think if we would get a revelation of how big our God is, that will minimize right away our storm.
Got a friend who was visiting from Israel, and she said something that just about knocked me over. She said, in Israel, she said, you rarely see person-on-person crimes because we know that the battle is out there. We know that the enemy, you know, the next terrorist attack is what we're preparing for. And she said, we spend the times in between the attacks preparing for the next attack because they come in waves. And as Christian Jewish people, she said, we steward that time so importantly that when the next attack comes, we can bring peace to chaos, and we can bring, you know, help and encouragement because we've taken that time. And she said, in America, you guys seem to live for just the relief, for the time in between, and you waste so much time. She said, it's war until Jesus returns. And if you could get that in your mind, you would start to steward the times in between so you can stand in the day of battle. I thought that was a word for us in due season, don't you?
Absolutely. And I think that's why Ephesians chapter 6 exists, for us to clothe ourselves with the armor of God and go on the offensive and not just sit and play defense, but be willing to move forward. And if we know who we are in Christ, we know who he is, and we have clothed ourselves with that armor. The Apostle Paul says, after we've done all to stand, we stand therefore. And it's much easier to stand when we are dressed for battle.
Wow. That's an excellent word. Well, I'd love to know just from your own life, Chuck. Let's see here. We've got about 3.5 minutes before our hard break at the bottom. So if you need to carry the story on the other side, please feel free. But what you learned in the 40 time for you, that when the 41 came for you and the breakthrough came, you could look back and go, I'm so glad I did that. I'm so glad I thought that, or I chose that. What did you do well in the time, in the 40 year, you know what I'm saying? So when breakthrough came, it served you well.
Sure. Well, I'm going to use the book as an example because I believe there's a lot of people listening that they have a dream in their heart and they're perhaps in a season of preparation. And, you know, I was the guy that talked about my book for years without writing it. And there was a time where I wasn't working on my craft. I talked about it probably so much that my wife got tired of hearing about the book idea. At that time, it was just an idea. I'm going to write this book. I have this idea. 41 will come ever since this football game. Well, that was more than 15 years ago. And I talked about it. I preached about it. We did an 8-week series at our church about it. I would, you know, discuss it with friends. I prayed about it. I committed to God. I would lay in bed and think about it. In fact, there were times where I had anxiety attacks thinking that my dream was going to wind up with someone else's fingerprints on them because I wasn't doing my part. So I want to encourage listeners to do, God will always do his part. You know, we commit to him our plans and they become his plans, but he won't do the work for us. We still have to take action. We have to sit down and write or practice or whatever it is that we are, you know, pursuing, that dream, that vision that we have written down, we need to pick it up and run with it. And if we will be faithful, God will be faithful. If we are good stewards, like you were talking about a little bit ago, if we will just be faithful with a little, he'll give us more. So for me, I finally just had to sit down and start writing the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they often say, you know, the best advice for an author, an aspiring author, is put your rump in the chair and start pounding out the words. I mean, that's just really what it takes, isn't it? How did you go about getting published? Did you go to writer's conference? How did you connect with an editor?
Yeah, I did. Actually, it was a divine appointment, I really believe. And, you know, when I know there might be some people listening right now and going, well, yeah, so you finally sat down, you wrote the book, it's out now, great. But this was a really big deal in my life. I'm talking 15 years where this was brewing in me. And what really happened was I finally just, you know, began to do my part. And then as I did my part, God just began to, you know, set things in motion behind the scenes. There were even, you know, times and seasons of silence where I felt like he wasn't moving. But now I look back and I see that he was orchestrating specific moments. And one of those moments took place in 2013 when my friend, Pastor Jim Powell, pastor of a church here in the Peoria area, he knew about the dream in my heart. And he had just self-published a book. And he said, hey, I'm going to this conference called Rewrites in Austin, Texas. And you got to come with me. And to be honest, I almost didn't go because it fell on my anniversary. And I had never been away from my wife on her anniversary. And I didn't even want to ask her, to be honest with you, Susie. So I finally just said, hey, I feel like this might be a God thing. What do you think about it? And my wife said, you got to go. And then I knew, okay, God is doing something. If I'm going to be away from my wife on anniversary, this is definitely God. So I went and I sat and I was inspired. And God, you know, really just placed some things in my heart. I have to pause. Really,
I'm so sorry, sure. Chuck. I got to pause. You have a hard break coming up here. And I'm excited to hear how you got published. And on the other side, we're also going to talk about 41. 41 will come. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
And this is going to be a glorious unfolding. Just you wait and see, and you will be amazed.
Thanks for listening today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. And I'm talking to Chuck Tate, author of the book, 41 Will Come, Holding On When Life Gets Tough, Standing Strong Until a New Day Dawns. And when we're in that time in between, sometimes we feel forgotten. You know, I used to feel like God lost my address. Maybe you feel that way too, but he loves you. He knows where you live and he cares about the dreams of your heart. And just as a little side conversation, but I want Chuck to finish it before the break. I asked him because he felt God gave him this sermon, 41 Will Come, all these significant stories of 40 days, 40 years, but eventually 41 comes, the breakthrough comes. He had this in his heart for the longest time, and he knew he was supposed to write a book, but maybe kind of kept putting it off. And finally, the opportunity came on his anniversary. His wife gave him his blessing, go ahead. And Chuck, you attended a writer's conference and tell us what happened. But then I want to get into the 41 breakthrough. But let's hear what happened there.
Sure. So I'm at this conference called Rewrite, Austin, Texas, in 2013. And the keynote speaker is Mark Batterson, who's a well-known author, Circle Maker, new book, Chase the Lions, getting ready to come out. And in that moment, in his keynote address, this message, if you will, he asked everyone in the room, you know, it's a room filled with writers, how many of you feel called by God to write? And a number of hands went up, myself included. And he said, you know, I don't mean that it's therapeutic for you to write. It's a hobby. It's, you know, I'm talking about something that goes deeper than just enjoying writing. But how many of you feel called by God to write? So I threw my hand up. I knew the answer. Yes, that's me. I'm called by God to do this. Then he said this, Susie. He said, then by not writing, you're living in disobedience. And in that moment, it was like a kick in the gut or a punch in the face. I just realized, wow, I've been disobedient. I've been more talk than I've been walk. You know, I've preached about it, talked about it without working enough on it. And in that moment, I purposed in my heart that I was going to obey God and I was going to write this book because it's his book. So I know if people are listening today that have a book in them or another dream, it's not too late to begin today. So I began in that moment. In fact, when that service was over or when that session was over, I approached a very well-known literary agent. Her name is Esther Federkevich, and really her agency was the agency behind this conference. And I just walked up to her and I said, hey, can I share my concept with you for 60 seconds? And she said, sure, go. And in that moment, that was a big moment for me as well. I was like stepping onto the battlefield. I was freaked out to even approach her, but I did it anyway. And I shared my concept, and I got some great feedback. And the feedback that I received from her was enough to really believe that this was a God thing. That I, you know, now I'm going to go back. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to work on it. And so, and that's what I did. I went, and then I returned to the. Returned to the conference when I believe it was 2015, or at the end of 2014, I entered my proposal into their Rewrite conference, and that's how I landed the contract with Tyndale House, and now we're here talking about a finished book. So the reason I wanted to tell that story is because I believe I'm just like the listener. I'm no different. I'm just a pastor, a regular person, an ordinary person that had a dream in my heart to write a book, to accomplish something for God, and he set it into motion. He set up divine appointments because I prepared myself and I did my part. He's the one to cause it to come to fruition.
Such a great story, Chuck, and appreciate you telling that. And speaking of Mark Batterson, we've had him on the show a number of times and we love that guy. But I was on a road trip for a speaking event just a couple of days ago, and I battle some chronic health things that are rearing their head and giving me a lot of trouble. And Mark Batterson has talked about his chronic issue with severe asthma. I mean, he almost died when he was a young toddler multiple times. Terrible, terrible, terrible asthma. And he said he'd never go anywhere without his inhaler in his sock. And his series was on Mountains Move, When Enough is Enough. And he's got this background. I watched a video on my phone, and to be honest, I cried through the whole thing. But he was the Mountain Move message was about, you know, what's the impossible thing? And it's very much like your message. Where is this time in between? And for him, the gutsiest prayer he could pray was asthma because he's had a million prayers for it. Nothing's ever happened. Long story short, he was healed. He's been healed very recently. But he said since then, he's been reading books on breathing and realizing he'd been breathing all wrong because I think the trauma to his lungs, it gets you to kind of shrink back and almost play not to lose. And I know for me, Chuck, just working through some of these health things, God is showing me some of the emotions tied in. And I'm saying all this for a purpose, that in this time in between, I do believe my breakthrough's coming. I love that Mark got his. But all of us have stuff that gets tangled in with the dream and the breakthrough that's ours to do, kind of like you were saying. God's going to do his thing, but there's always something for us to do in 40 before 41 comes, isn't there? I mean, there's always fears or anxieties or ambitions or whatever. There's stuff for us to address. It's not just abiding of our time.
Yeah, absolutely, Susie. And, you know, one of the biggest things I think that the enemy will use You know, obviously the given is fear. The enemy will do everything he can to cripple us from fear, and that's exactly what he did to the nation of Israel. For 40 days, they heard this giant, they heard the taunts, the challenges, the bullying, and they responded with silence because of fear. But David showed up, and because of faith, was willing to do something about it and step onto a battlefield. And what's so awesome about the story is when David defeated Goliath, it wasn't just a personal victory, but it brought victory to an entire nation. But before he stepped out in faith onto the battlefield, he had to shake off self-doubt. He had to shake off the doubters. He had to shake off negativity. It was one thing. You expect the enemy to mock you. You expect, you know, Goliath to taunt you. But his own brothers, when he first inquired about fighting Goliath, told him to go home. I know those people today, they're listening. They have this huge dream, and they've shared it with sometimes you share it with the right people and you get the wrong response. And instead of cheering you on, you have people that beat you down or tell you your dream is dumb and or there's no way that you can do it. In fact, David's own king, King Saul, you would think that King Saul would be ecstatic that finally after 40 days, somebody's going to stand up and fight. But King Saul's words to David was, there's no way you can win. You're just a boy. Goliath's been fighting his whole life. There's no way you can defeat this giant. Twice, David had to shake off doubters. He had to shake off that negativity. And I really believe anytime we dream big, and I want to add that we need to dream so big that the only way we can pull it off is if God steps in. If we can accomplish it without God, it's not big enough. You know, David, this was a huge dream that brought victory, like I said, to an entire nation. He had to shake off the doubt, the negativity, and that's what we need to do. As soon as we purpose in our heart, we're going to do something. The enemy's going to send people, and sometimes they're good people. Sometimes it's your own family, your own brothers and sisters in Christ who will, you know, put you down or put your dream down. The bottom line is this, and I'm not saying we need to discard wise counsel because we know that there's safety in a multitude of counselors, but ultimately, if God is asking you to do something, we have got to obey God and step out anyway.
Amen, amen. Okay, this is what you write about 41. We're going to see how the number 41 represents a beacon of hope for postponed dreams and promised lands. 41 resuscitates hope, restores sunlight, returns calm after the storm. 41 wipes the slate clean and gives birth to second chances. 41 turns the page on a new chapter, a new calling, and a new beginning. I'd love for you to speak, Chuck, to that person who feels like they're 41 is not coming. They've lost hope. It's just been mostly a drudgery and a waiting and a lot of sameness. What advice do you have for them?
I would say, number one, trust God.
Yeah.
And even in seasons of silence where it feels like God's not moving, I'm here to remind you that he is still moving. One of my favorite passages of scriptures in Daniel, when Daniel prays and an angel shows up 3 weeks later, 21 days later, this angel shows up and tells Daniel, the first thing he says is, God thinks highly of you. I just love that because there are, you know, one, we need to have a revelation that God's for us. He's not against us. He wants to help us. He wants to heal us. He wants to see us through. He wants that breakthrough more than we want it. You know, so that was a huge word, I think, for the angel to say to Daniel, God thinks highly of you. He's not a respecter of person. Ephesians 2:10 says that we're his masterpiece. We're his workmanship. We've been made in his image and his likeness, and he saw us before the foundations of the world. He saw us before our parents ever connected. So we need to know that God loves us. He wants that victory to come in our lives. We need to trust him, you know, because this angel said, God thinks highly of you. And he said, then the angel said this, I'm here in response to your words. From the moment you first prayed, a decree was given, a command was given. But then there were some things, you know, spiritual warfare, if you will, that caused the angel not to be able to get that message to Daniel sooner. And this can boost our faith, Susie, because how many times have we been in the middle of the storm or in the middle of the desert, in the middle of a wilderness? We're in this battle, and we feel like things aren't going our way. In fact, we feel like we're going backwards. Everything seems to unravel around us. So what do we do in those moments? So the answer to your question is we trust God. We trust his word. We know he's a God that cannot lie. He is moving behind the scenes. I believe from the moment we pray, he sets things into motion. He's going to set up divine appointments. He will set people across our paths that will hold us up. Because sometimes when we're in the middle, we can't even stand on our own. And that's when we need to lean into other believers, other brothers and sisters. We're created for community. That's why it's important to be in church. Hebrews says, don't get out of the habit of meeting for worship. Instead, encourage each other all the more until you see that day approaching. So sometimes the answer is just going to church and being encouraged by the people we're sitting with or next to know that we're not in this alone. And even though it seems like nothing is happening, we have to believe that he is still moving.
Indeed. And really, as you say, positioning yourself by being someone who, you said this in the book, to be still and know that he's God. So you bend an ear towards heaven and you listen for what God has to say. You get in the word to get a word from God. You get with God's people. If you can position yourself during that time in between, Jesus will drop these truth bombs along the way, or these nuggets or breadcrumbs or whatever you want to call them, to get you to the next place and then to the next place. And we got one more break here coming up in a few minutes. But, you know, so often, Chuck, I think we serve a reluctant God. And yet we serve a God who, as you say, wants to intervene. I want to reread the quote that I opened with from your book. And I'm going to go out with this quote, Aaron, if that's okay. And we'll have Chuck comment on the other side. But here it is. We serve a God who is big enough to restore relationships, heal bodies, extend provision, change circumstances, breathe new life into any situation, wipe out our sin and the shame associated with it. Isn't that amazing? And not only is God big enough to save you, he wants to do it. He wants to do it. 41 will come, friend. Don't go away. More with Chuck Tate in a moment. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Of the Promise, talking to author Pastor Chuck Tate about his book, 41 Will Come. 41 Will Come. Holding on when life gets tough and standing strong until a new day dawns. And that's what's really required of us, standing strong till that breakthrough comes, because it will come. Got a few copies. I'd love to get a copy into your hands. You want to enter the drawing? Do it this way. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. S-U-S-I-E @myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address, and put 41 somewhere in that email, and I'll know that this is the book you'd like to be in the drawing for. Three of you will get a copy. Probably will land in your mailbox end of this week, otherwise beginning of next week. So, Chuck, I read that quote. I'll read it one more time, just because I think we need the constant reminders that we don't serve a reluctant God. Here it is. We serve a God who's big enough to restore relationships, heal bodies, extend provision, change circumstances, breathe new life into any situation, and wipe out our sin and the shame associated with it. And not only is God big enough to save you, he actually wants to do it. Say more if you would.
Sure. One of my favorite stories, in especially in the Gospels, is there's a moment where Jesus is having a conversation with a leper. And obviously, somebody who has leprosy in that day was considered unclean. You weren't supposed to approach them. Don't get near them. Don't touch them. And Jesus asked this question, what would you like? And he said, I'd like to be healed. And then he says this, I'd like to be clean if you are willing. And I love the response of Christ. He says, I am willing. And I think right now, no matter who's listening, we can ask God right now, God, are you willing? And the answer is, yes, I am. I'm willing. And to go right along with that story is another example in the Gospels where there is a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, and he's sitting along the roadside, and he hears that Jesus is going to be passing by. And I'm sure at that moment he had heard about who Jesus is. This guy is doing miracles. Blind eyes are coming open. Deaf ears are coming open. He's doing miracle after miracle. And as he sat on that roadside, he knew that Jesus would be passing him by. This was his opportunity. This was his chance to seize a moment. So when Jesus passed by, he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd told him to be quiet. They literally told him to shut up. He doesn't have time for you. Hey, be quiet. And in that moment, Bartimaeus had an opportunity to allow those doubters, to allow that negativity to creep in and to prevent him from getting a miracle. He could have thought to himself, you know what, they're right. Jesus doesn't care about me. He doesn't want me healed. That was one of my chances, but there's so many people out there, I guess I'm not good enough. But he didn't think that way. It says that he shouted louder. He cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. And I think this had to be such a tenacious act of faith, if you will. He just cries out, and he gets the attention of Jesus. And Jesus stopped. And I love what Jesus does. He says, bring him to me. So I kind of think the same ones that told him to be quiet were the same ones that brought him to Jesus. And then Jesus said 9 words to him that changed his life. What do you want me to do for you? And he said, Rabbi, I want to see. And Jesus healed him in that moment. And I believe that Jesus is asking us the same thing today. No matter how big of our problem, no matter how big a problem it is, no matter what we're facing, Jesus is asking us, what do you want me to do for you? And I believe he wants to do it, Susie. He wants
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm. So good. And I'm thinking of, you know, you reference this in the book too, but something I've been thinking about a lot lately about when when Saul and David were in a battle. It says, over time, the house of Saul grew weaker while David grew stronger. And that's a visual that I've had with me for years when I think about when God is for you, who can stand against you? And the house of Saul was getting weaker. So the whole structure, and I picture that almost like a house of cards going down. I want you to speak to that whole idea because it feels like you keep standing and you keep standing. But as you're standing on his word, you're actually getting stronger even when you feel weak.
Absolutely. In fact, Jesus even said, if we build our house upon the rock, then you know the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. When the storm comes, the wind comes, the waves, the rain, when the sun comes out, we will still be standing. And that doesn't mean that we won't hurt. That doesn't mean that we don't experience pain. That doesn't mean that we won't feel like quitting, that we won't feel like giving up, especially when we've been knocked down and the enemy is standing over us, haunting us. If we will just get up and say, no, my faith is in God, I'm going to stand. That's why I love the scripture in Micah 7:8. It says, do not gloat over me, O my enemies. Though I've fallen, I will get up. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my life. So, yeah, Jesus, we're not just as tough as the enemy. We're tougher. Matthew 16:18, we're tougher than hell. Greater is he who's in us. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of us. So we can't lose.
Amen. Amen. Well, one of the points or pieces of advice you offer is to smash fear in the mouth. That just made me happy. I want you to say a word about that.
Well, I think many times, Susie, that a lot of fears in our life aren't rational. There's so many things that I used to be afraid of, but because I smash fear in the mouth today, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to ride a roller coaster. I'm not afraid to dive off a high dive. And there's, a time where I talked my sister into riding this roller coaster. And at the time, it was the world's tallest and fastest steel roller coaster. And we stood in line, and she was going to ride it. She was really brave in line. But once it got time to get in, she changed her mind. And I feel horrible for doing this, but I said, Sherry, go ahead and get on, because right before we get to the top, if you are afraid, they have a button. You can push the button. They'll let you off.
Oh, you're such a brother.
I have since repented. I have repented for that. So on the way up, that did it, though. I got her.
Of course it did.
I was able to get her on this roller coaster, and on the way up, she was not taking in the majestic sight of Lake Erie. It was just unbelievable, spectacular, but her head was between her knees, and she was gripped on those handlebars. And finally, I just said, Sherry, do you want me to – we were just almost to the top, and she was just petrified. I said, Sherry, do you want me to push the button? And she lifted up her head. She looked at me with fears in her eyes, and she said, yes. And I said, sorry, no button. And over to the top, we went all the way down, and – She has yet to forgive me. No, she has.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny? The reason I told that story is because she loves roller coasters to this day.
Wow.
So my response to her is, you're welcome.
Yeah.
I helped her cash fear in the mouth. And once we have a revelation, understanding of how big our God is, then he will help us to smash fear in the mouth because he's with us. He's for us. You know, he's above us, below us, beside us, all around us. Wherever we go, he is. We don't have to be afraid. The enemy did a good job at crippling the Israelites, but David knew whose God was. And just like I said a little bit ago, so if we will trust God, he will give us the strength we need to smash fear in the mouth. Because 2 Timothy 1:7 says he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. This is why he says to be strong and courageous. The Lord is there to fight that battle with us. We just have to trust him.
Simply trust him and stand
on his word.
Well, that fear makes us play not to lose rather than playing to win. I mean, you think about where the idea of self-preservation got the Israelites. I mean, they played not to lose, right? I mean, they constantly were self-preserving. But the two spies that came back and said, yes, it's a plentiful land, and yes, there are giants, but surely we will defeat them. There's got to be a point where something rises up in us to say, God has more for us. So we've got about a minute and a half here before we pray. But say a word about what it means to prepare in order to receive a payoff. That's something you address in the book.
Sure. When we fill up ourselves with the word of God, that allows us to be in a position to step onto the battlefield and advance against the enemy. You know, everyone says defense wins championships, but the truth is you can't win without offense.
Mm.
And defense was getting the Israelites nowhere. Finally, one person, one teenager, was willing to go on the offensive. And he didn't hide from Goliath. He didn't spar with Goliath. The word says that David ran at Goliath. And too many times we retreat and we played defense instead of going on the offensive and running at the enemy and saying, no, this is what the word says. This is who my God is, and this is who I am because of what he's done. So I'm gonna defeat this. I'm going to beat this giant. I'm going to win this victory. My dream is going to come true. Yeah, hope deferred makes a heart sick, but a longing fulfilled, a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. My tree of life is coming. It's coming now. This is where we just go on the offensive, and that's what David did.
Boy, this has been a great conversation with you, Chuck. And as we get ready to wrap, I'm wondering if you pray for that person today listening who suddenly stood up and realizing they need to reengage their faith as they wait for that 41 breakthrough for them. Would you pray for them?
Absolutely, Susie. Thank you so much. Father, right now, I just agree with Susie by faith. We just thank you for every single person that's listening right now, that one individual that feels like quitting. Maybe before they began listening today, they were ready to say, forget it, I'm done, I'm throwing in the towel. I just pray, Jesus, that you will increase their faith, that they will have an understanding, that you will reveal yourself to them, how much you care about them, how much you love them, that you're not against them, you're not mad at them, you're for them, and they can dream again. I pray, God, that you will ignite hope into hearts, that you will fuel faith, that people will put their eyes onto you, that they will be willing to smash fear in the mouth and step onto the battlefield to see their giant fall. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Chuck, thank you for persevering and thank you for fulfilling and, I mean, walking out by faith the call of God on your life, because we are benefactors. Appreciate the time today.
Hey, thank you so much, Susie. It was my honor to be here.
Good conversation. Just talking with Chuck Tate, title of his book again, 41 Will Come, Holding On When Life Gets Tough, Standing Strong Until a New Day Dawns. You know what, friend? I want a testimony from you. When your 41 comes, let me know. And you can know that I'm going to be letting you know as well. But so many of us are standing in battle. But guess what? After you've suffered a little while, the breakthrough does come. So do not give up hope and keep marching. God is faithful to his word. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.